Well, welcome, 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 my friends. That's right, another exciting edition of KMOX is at your service right here on a beautiful Tuesday evening in your heartland in St. Louis. We're going to have some fun tonight. My name's Greg Dame. It's been a while since we've been on, and we're going to have a jam-packed show. It's going to be a lot of fun, and got some great guests coming up today here on the program. And folks, I tell you, great to be back with you. I hope you enjoy the program as well. But you know what? Let's just kick it off right now. Let's bring in our first guest. He is the head coach of Incarnate Word Academy basketball. He's been there 25 years, and his name is Dan Rolfes. Dan, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program tonight. Danny, there?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. I appreciate it.
Yep, sounds good. Nick, Greg, sorry. No, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so let's talk a little about Incarnate Word Academy basketball. 25 years you've been at the helm, 13 state championships. That's right, I said 13 state championships, 7 state championships in a row, and more importantly, you're on a 130-game win streak, longest in the nation.
Yeah, we've had a pretty good run over the past past couple of years. So I'm in a really good spot, and kids have bought into our program, and I love being in the gym with them every day. So yeah, I'm extremely lucky.
Yeah, 25 years. That's just it's just amazing that you're able to do that. But tell you what. So I know a lot of folks out here playing the home game of KMOX. They know what happened last year. We talked about it here on the program, but I want to talk a little about, kind of go back to the state championship last year. You guys just do the semifinal game. You're getting ready to play in the state championship the next day, and the game's over, and you're heading out with your wife, and you say you don't feel good. I'm going to just let you take it from there.
After the game, just for reference, I don't remember the whole entire day. So whatever I'm getting is from what I've been told. So I don't remember the morning, the shoot around, the game, the press conference. I don't remember anything. And I don't know if that's the way my body dealt with the stress of having a heart attack, but was not feeling good. Luckily, my wife, who's a nurse, was at the game. And so the team was going, I just was going to go with the assistant coaches, and my wife and my daughter were going to take me to the hospital. And we got about 10 feet in the car, and I collapsed and had a heart attack in the parking lot. So, luckily, like I said, my wife is a nurse, and she was able to start CPR immediately. They were able to get an ambulance there quickly. The Mizzou Hospital is right across the street, so ambulance came quickly. So they were able to get to me quick. They worked on me for a long time, and in the parking lot, and then both at the hospital. But I'm just super lucky, to be kind of in the spot I was when I had the heart attack.
No, absolutely. And I don't want to glorify it, but pretty massive heart attack. And you had to have some surgery on top of that.
Yeah. They worked on me for about 90 minutes of CPR and shocking, and they shocked me 27 times.
Wow.
So, they weren't giving up on me. So, I just can't thank them enough. And again, the people at Mizzou Hospital were fantastic. They even reach out to my wife still. My wife got a text yesterday from one of the nurses just asking how I was doing. They were just fantastic. Through having so much CPR, lacerated my liver, and I had to have surgery on that. And then since then, I've had to have a couple stents put in, pacemaker and defibrillator put in. So I've had a lot going on the last 6 months. So I'm just ready to get back to basketball. Well, so that's kind of my carrot dangling in front of me.
So how do you feel today compared to, you know, before this happened?
I mean, before this happened, I never, until the heart attack happened, I felt fine. There was no indication of any kind of issues or problems. But then, you know, obviously, you know, since the heart attack, it's been a battle. You know, when I left the hospital, I couldn't even walk, just from being in the hospital so long. And my first day of physical therapy in the hospital, they had to hoist me out of bed just so I can move my legs a little bit. So, it's been a battle. It's been a long, long 6-7 months.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
You know, just so, you know, and then when we got home, it was just, you know, just, I was just trying to get better, do a little more each day. You know, my wife and I would walk, and I mean, I'd literally walk to my neighbor's house and then back. And then, you know, the next day I'm like, okay, I'm going two houses. And so we would go two houses and then three houses. And we just trying to keep going further and further every day. And, you know, now, you know, I'm walking 2 miles a day every day. It's been long. I mean, it's been a long road, and you know, I just can't say enough how blessed I am to have just an amazing family. My wife has been amazing. My kids, you know, have been around, and they stayed in Columbia the entire time that I was in the hospital and put their lives on hold for me. And when I get back here to St. Louis, the community has been amazing, and so many people have reached out to me. My wife, my kids, and sent meals, sent letters, sent gift cards.
Well, I mean, you've touched so many lives. 25 years, you've touched so many lives. Not only kids, but parents as well.
Yeah, no, I guess you just don't even realize that until something like this happens. I mean, it's hard to put into words. You know, you take a lot for granted, and unless you go through something like this, you just never really, I think, fully appreciate, you know, what you have in this life, and you know, your family and all the little things matter so much more. And it just, like I said, it's hard to put into words, but you know, I wake up every day thinking, God, I got another day. And, you know, there's things that sure. You used to dread, and now you enjoy doing.
Yeah, it changes your perspective.
100%. And I don't think you could have that perspective unless you kind of go through something that's life-changing.
Well, it's certainly amazing that you bounced back. And for folks at home, I want to talk a little about Dan. Dan's in great shape. He was in great shape before. He's not like me, you know. So, I mean, I think it was a really big shock to everybody.
Yeah, you know, I'm not a power lifter by any means, but I felt like I was always in pretty decent shape.
And, you're a basketball player.
it's when they get down to it, it's primarily genetics, right. Because I've had testing done, and it's just unfortunate for me. It's, you know, my father died of a heart attack. His father died of a heart attack. My uncle died of a heart attack. It just in our family, I just, you know, you just never know when. And, you know, for my dad and my uncle, they were just in remote places where, or by themselves. And I was lucky that there, I had people near me and knew what to do and acted quickly. Right. So,
well, and you know,
so, I mean, I always tell people and all my friends, and I got one of my buddies, a guy who used to work at Camo X, Tom Dolan, just went and had his heart checked, and they realized he needed surgery, just had quadruple bypass surgery.
Wow.
So, you know, so many of my friends are getting tested, the stress tests, the cardiac calcium tests. So, you know, I would definitely suggest getting that regardless of what kind of shape you think you're in.
No, absolutely. Well, and you also have a job where it's not any, no pressure, no stress, right?
Yeah, I know, right? That doesn't help. So, but I gotta, I don't know how different I'll be in practice or in the games, but I definitely have to do a better job of managing my stress. That's for sure.
Absolutely. Well, Dan, I got to do a little bit of business. Can you hang with me a few more minutes?
Oh, yeah, All right. For sure. Love to.
Fantastic. Folks, this is KMOX is at your service. We're visiting with Dan Rolfes. He is the head basketball coach over in Incarnate Word Academy. 13 state championships, 7 in a row, 131 game winning streak. More conversation when we come back. Stick around. Welcome back, everyone. Here on a Tuesday evening, it's KMOX is at your service. I want to thank you so much for joining us tonight. And we are talking with head coach of Incarnate Word Basketball. That's right, Dan Rolfes has been kind enough to hang with us here and be on the program with us again. Dan, excuse me, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me on.
So we kind of talked about what happened last year. I got a couple of questions. Obviously, 13 state championships, 7 in a row, 131 game winning streak. And I know you take preparation very seriously. How much do you prepare for the next opponent?
Yeah, you know, you're right. We definitely, I think that's, our preparation has been, I think one of the keys to our success, excuse me. We watch, as coaches, we watch a lot of film on our opponents, and we try to see as many games live as we can just to get a kind of gauge on the other team's personnel. But we watch a ton of film, and then, we'll create a scouting report that we hope summarizes the personnel and the team as best as we can. And then we'll break down and show our kids individual clips of, again, personnel, so they know their matchups, know their strengths, and then also, what the other team is trying to do offensively and defensively. So, and then, from there, we just, try and decide how we want to guard things and how do we want to attack them offensively. So, and we're going to do that, from the first game to the last game, whether it's, an opponent that we're going to beat pretty easily or it's the state championship. So very big on routine and preparation and doing the same thing. And I think the kids really, really buy in because they think they know the preparation gives them a sense of confidence to going into that game. So they really buy into it.
Well, they know, they see you do it, so, obviously they're like, hey, if the coach is doing this, I better get on the stick.
Yeah, honestly, if the kids aren't going to take it seriously and they're not going to know their scout, I'm lucky. I'm in a position where if you're not going to do it, then I guarantee you someone down the bench will. So right. They learn pretty quick on kind of the demands and what we want from a scout. So, and it does, and it takes kids a while, just like any other skill in a sport. It takes a while to understand a scout and realize like how we want to go over screens and how we're going to defend ball screens this particular game, or are we going to switch, or are we going to switch what positions? And there's a lot to go into it, and honestly, it's what they're going to have to do in college. So I think, also, not only does it help us, this year and while we're at Incarnate, it's going to benefit them down the road when they're playing in college.
Absolutely. Well, 131 game winning streak, longest in the nation. What does it take to get your players ready for that? I mean, is there any added pressure for that? Do you think about it? Do you talk about it with the kids?
No, I mean, we don't really talk about it at all. Obviously, the kids know because there's a lot of media attention around it and people asking about it. But, we don't go into our preparation and saying, we got to get this one because it's going to be 135 and so on and so forth. Yeah, I know it's cliche, but I think the way we prepare, we are very focused on one game at a time and focused on that one game ahead of us. And I think by the way we prepare and focus in on the opponent that we're going to play the next night, that kind of keeps them grounded and not really focused on, you know, game 133 and the 134 and getting too far ahead of ourselves.
No, absolutely. I can certainly understand that. I forgot my train of thought. I was going to ask one more thing about that, and I lost my train of thought. So now we got the players prepared. We've got everybody ready. Here's what I wanted to say is, and folks listen, you think, oh, well, you know, you're just playing local schools around here. No. You guys actually travel the country and go play some of the best schools in the country.
Yeah, no. You know, I was a believer that you've got to, if you want to be the best, you got to play the best. And we do, we try to go out and play, you know, different opponents from different states. And I don't know, I think it's been great for our program to visit other, you know, teams and cities. And there's obviously different styles of play, you know, throughout the country. And it's just also just kind of fun to know that, you know, you were watching WNBA games and, oh, you know, we played Jonquel Jones. We played, you know, this person, you know, when we were in high school, and just to kind of keep track of those kids that, you know, that you played in high school, the high school and college careers and now pro careers. And then it's also, you know, if we, you know, we always aim to be ranked in the top 25 in the country, and unless you're playing some other top 25 teams in the country, you're not going to be ranked. And so feel like we've done a pretty good job. And I think we're known, you know, throughout the country as one of the top basketball schools.
Oh, absolutely. At what age do you probably the average incarnate word ladies start playing basketball? And if you're a parent, what should you be looking for when you're trying to find a club or school for your daughter?
You know, most of the kids are starting in, you know, in third and fourth grade, and you know, the kids that are coming to our Incarnate are, you know, have really bought into playing basketball. You know, there's very few mornings that I don't walk into school at, you know, 7:45, and I have six or seven players leaving the gym, and they just got, you know, hundreds of shots in, and that's just on their own. I don't have any requirements for them to get shots up. They just want to be a good basketball player. So I'm in a lucky spot, but the best players are ones that have the drive, that don't need a coach or a parent or someone telling them, hey, go outside and practice or go do this. They're going to do it on their own.
Right.
And when you have that and you're passionate about, you know, whether it's basketball or playing the piano or whatever you do, if you're passionate and you're going to do it on, you're going to be successful. I think, you know, what we've got at Incarnate is something that's extremely special. Because our practices are extremely competitive, and we have a lot of really good players, and firm believer that iron sharpens iron, and you're only going to get better by playing against better people, and every single day, 6 days a week, you're practicing against other, you know, high level Division I players. It's going to make you better.
Absolutely.
So, and that's kind of what's really fueled our program is our practices and competitiveness and our kids' desire to be the best they can, you know, both personally and, you know, as a team.
Nope, absolutely. Well, Dan, I want to thank you so much for coming on and talking a little bit about Incarnate Word basketball and also your story. You know, just an amazing story and continued success. We're going to be watching you again, and after you win the next state championship, we're going to have you back on. So
yeah, sounds great. I love our end of March conversation. So hopefully I'll be there this time for you.
That's right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Dan, thanks so much. And we're going to come out and check out a few games.
Sounds good, Greg. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. That's Dan Rolfes. He's the head basketball coach at Incarnate Word Academy. And boy, just a great miracle story. And boy, they're just a powerhouse over there. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little politics. Now, you know, I'm not a political guy, but I got the best guy on to talk about it. John Hancock's going to join us after the break. Stick around. Welcome back, my friends. 8:36 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. And we're having some fun here on the KMOX. At your service tonight, Greg Damon sitting in the big chair. We're going to talk a little politics. I got to tell you, folks, I'm just not a big political guy. I kind of keep it close to my vest, but I got the next best guy here. He always jumps in and helps me whenever I need it. And John Hancock, GOP strategist and KMOX co-host with Michael Kelly. He joins us on the program. Not only that, he's a nice guy about town on top of that. John, thanks for coming on the show.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
All is well. I'm sitting on the patio. My wife and father-in-law have got a hot episode of Columbo on. It's loud. And they're discussing the clues, so I thought I'd better come out here.
You don't want their opinion to you know, cloud your view of Columbo.
That's exactly right.
Well, John, it is that political season. The crescendo is coming here with the election just in a few weeks. And
2 weeks.
Yeah, the ads all over TV, you know, every time radio, it's just nauseating because how do you cut through the truth and the lies in all these ads?
So what I encourage people to do, I mean, so most people are either identify as a Republican or a Democrat. For those people, they pretty much know what they're going to do. For the folks that are independents, what I would suggest is think about what you believe. Write down, you know, all the top issues, taxes, immigration, foreign policy, you know, and write out what you believe. And then go to the candidates' websites and see who best comports to your view of the world. And that's a pretty good way to make a decision. Plus, every county, so St. Louis County, St. Louis City, Jefferson County, St. Charles, every one of these counties on the east side as well, they all have election authorities, and you can go to their websites. So if you're in St. Clair County, you would Google St. Clair County elections, and you'd get their website, and you can actually get a sample ballot of what's going to be on the ballot. So that will include all of the issues in Missouri, all of the judges, both statewide issues and local issues that are on the ballot, in addition to the candidates, and do a little research beforehand because it is a long ballot, and you'll do yourself a favor by doing a little homework before you show up and vote.
That is a great idea. I never knew that because I don't want to say I get surprised when I go vote, but you know, it's always like, oh, well, I didn't know this was on the ballot. You know, take the time to read it and everything else. That is a fantastic idea.
Yeah, and it'll save you some time. It'll make the lines a little shorter if you know what you're doing, you know, when you go in. And then if you get an issue that is not clear with the ballot language, and that happens, then research the issue. You know, we have more resources at our disposal now to be informed as a voter than ever before. And, you know, and when it comes to the candidates, get a variety of different opinions, see people that are pro and con on both sides, and, you know, make an informed choice.
I see on a lot of commercials today, I compare it to car commercials because, you know, when you see a car, they never tell you how much the car is. They say it's only $435 a month. They don't tell you that the car is $35,000. So I compare it to that because I'm seeing a lot of candidates that there's no designation whether they're independent, Democrat, or Republican.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. And then, you know, when you get into their actual policy proposals, there's nobody telling you how much this is going to cost. You know, what's that going to cost? And so it behooves all of us to do a little bit of research to find out. And, you know, for some people, the national debt's not that big of an issue. Okay, fine. For others, it is. And if that's a big issue for you, you should research and see what the candidates are proposing in terms of spending and taxes and see what that's going to do to the deficit and the national debt before you go vote.
Yeah, absolutely. I just hate borrowing money from other countries to pay our national debt.
Yeah, and it's even worse than that now, Greg. We can no longer service our debt by having other countries invest in our bonds. So what the U.S. is doing now, it's called monetizing the debt. And where we can't sell off our debt, we just print money. And that's one of the things that has caused the inflation that all of us have suffered over the last several years. It's not the only factor, but it's a factor. And nobody, none of the candidates, none of the parties are talking about the national debt right now. And, you know, as far as things that are looming long term for the United States, that's a very big issue and very important.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, John, I got to do a little business. Can you hang with me a few more minutes?
You bet.
All right, fantastic. On the phone, we are visiting with John Hancock. He's a GOP strategist and KMOX co-host with Michael Kelly right here. And you can hear him every Friday for sure, and spots all over the place now with the political season heating up. We'll be right back. Stick around. This is KMOX is at your service. Welcome back, my friends. 8:47 is your time right here in the heart of Mid-America. Coming to you from KMOX tonight here. KMOX is at your service. Our producer, Kyle, kicking out the jams tonight for me. Good job, Kyle. Appreciate that. And on the phone, we are visiting with John Hancock. He's a GOP strategist and KMOX co-host. Again, John, I want to thank you for spending some of your time with us tonight here on the program.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
So I'm a little torn. I have a 21-year-old that's going to vote in his first election, and he's been asking all kinds of questions about it. And you know, which way his mom's voting, which way I'm voting. It's kind of like, well, you really don't talk about stuff like that. You know, that's you kind of keep that on your own. So we've been talking about how to research stuff a little bit, how to kind of cut through the truth and lies and go with that. You have any? Do you have any advice for him?
Well, the main thing, you know, for a young person like that is think about the world they want to live in, the world they want to get married in, how they would like the country to operate. And, you know, eventually they're going to have kids, maybe. And think about the world that they want their kids to grow up in, and form a worldview. And your worldview, if you've got a well-formed idea of what the things you absolutely believe, that's going to take you a far way down the field in deciding which candidates to support. It doesn't necessarily have to be a political party, but you know, that's a far better way to kind of think through what you believe and why, and how the candidates reflect or don't reflect that. That's a far better way to vote than, you know, who's the most entertaining or
right.
You know, who do you like looking at or whatever. So that would be the advice I would give them.
Yeah, you know, that's a great point that you brought up, because you want to vote for people who you think is going to be able to help you with your issues or your problems or your concerns, and not necessarily one party or another. And that's kind of what, you know, what we've told him. You got to kind of weed through and figure out what's going on.
Elections are about the future, not the past.
Right.
And so you want to think about candidates that you believe are going to provide a better future for you and your family, your community, and that's how you make those decisions.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I want to ask you, what do you think here? I mean, this is something that really bothers me. Again, I'm not a political guy, but I'm going to throw it out there, I don't understand why you don't really show ID to have to vote. It really bothers me. I mean, you have to have an ID to drive. You have to have an ID to board an airplane. You know, it's for stuff that's pretty mundane that you do every day, you have to have ID. Why is it different for your country's direction for the next 4 years not to have to show an ID?
Well, it used to be that way, but the law now in Missouri, and I'm not sure about Illinois, but in Missouri for sure, you do have to have a photo ID in order to vote. And that law was changed a few years ago. But you're right. I mean, for the longest time, that was not required, and it was silly. But that now is the law, and I think that ensures a little bit more integrity in the voting process as well.
Absolutely. Well, that was my next question is, you think people trust elections? You know, I mean, we hear like, oh, they stole the election, or they did this, or they did that. And it's, I mean, I got to tell you, on most of these political ads, I turn the channel, or I you know, tune it out or whatever. It's the same thing. Do you think people, the masses, do they trust election results today?
A lot of people don't. And that's gotten obviously worse since the 2020 election. Here's what I'll tell you, because I've spent a career doing elections, and even back in the day ran for Secretary of State, which is the chief election officer of the state. Our elections in this country, there are illegally cast ballots in every election, but they are few. And the numbers of checks and balances that exist in counting the votes, collecting the votes, submitting the votes, the system has a tremendous amount of checks and balances in place. For example, you go vote, your ballots are counted on a machine, okay? like your tests in college. You know, you feed them through the machine, multiple choice tests, and you get the vote results. Then after the votes are counted, 5% of the precincts are chosen randomly. So it's after all the votes are counted, nobody knows what precincts are going to be chosen, and they go back and they hand count those 5% of the precincts and match them against what the machine said. And the accuracy is remarkable. And that's just a good solid check on the system to make sure the machines are calibrated, nobody's playing games, nobody's, you know, creating votes out of whole cloth. And that system's been in place for a long time, and it works. A lot of people don't believe in the integrity of our elections, and I would encourage folks, not now, but because they're busy, but after the election, go visit your local election authority and have them walk you through the process that goes from printing the ballots to distributing them to the polling places to hiring the poll workers on election day, to retrieving the ballots from the polling place, taking them back to the election headquarters, tabulating the ballots, verifying the tabulations. I think most people would be blown away by how secure American elections are. In fact, you know, America, you've got all these countries, especially coming out of the Cold War, that flipped from communism to democracy. And they had to start figuring out how to run elections. It was the U.S. that taught Moldova, Georgia, you go on, Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia, on and on and on, taught these countries how to conduct elections. America's elections are the premier in the world.
Well, let me ask you this. For the first time, I'm going to have to vote early.
Good.
And, you know, we always hear on TV, on radio, hey, get out, vote early, vote early. I mean, is that trustworthy? I mean, are those votes counted instead of going standing in the line? How do they kept sealed before the election?
So you vote, and the votes aren't tabulated until election day, but your votes are kept, your ballots are kept, and they're secured. And again, I go back to what I just said. You go to your local election authorities. It's remarkable what they do. I'll tell you, though, that the lines today in some places were an hour and a half long in St. Louis County, and that's voting early. So be prepared for that. And, of course, on election day, the lines are going to be long as well, which is another reason why you should do your homework before you show up.
Right. Well, you know, that's another thing, too. I know many people's like, I'm not going to go vote. You know, I got to work today, and it was too long before work, and they're already clarifying the winner. By the time I get off work, I'm not even going to go. What do you have to say about that? We got about a minute left.
Yeah. So honestly, Greg, most of the elections in Missouri, even the presidential election in Missouri, it's pretty much cut and dried who's going to win and who's going to lose. But some of these ballot initiatives, whether it's the sports gaming or the abortion, they're going to be close. And, you know, you have to participate in the system. And if you don't participate in the system, you really don't have much grounds to complain about it.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, John, I want to thank you so much for coming on the program and hanging out with us and clarifying a few things about the election coming up. When can folks hear you here on KMOX?
Friday morning at 8:30.
Friday morning. What do you got coming up on Friday morning? More political stuff? You're with Michael Kelly on Friday, correct?
Yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday. Don't ask me about Friday.
You're just like me when I get ready for a show. Oh, wait, I got to prepare for it last minute.
Exactly.
Well, John, thanks again. I appreciate it. Have a great time, man. I'll talk to you soon.
Anytime. Bye-bye.
That's our good friend John Hancock. Folks, we're just about out of time for hour number one, but don't worry, we got a whole other hour coming up next after news.